You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is Goldmouth Prime filling in for Brian Kilby. Brian decided to take a little break this week. He'll probably be back for the next show. If not, you'll just be stuck with me. Yay! On the show this week, we do not have Bad Dub Transformers Line. We do not have Bad Poets Corner. Nor do we have trivia. The answer for last week's trivia was Desertion of the Dinobots, and the only person that I was told who got it right was Dexius R. Congrats, Dex. IRC is going to be a bit short this week. I didn't have much time to prepare material for it, so it's just going to be short. Let's go on into the ATT buzz. On ATT this week, very little happened. It was revealed that there was a problem in the pressing of the Transformers DVDs from Rhino, and both DVDs contain the same episodes. This will probably get fixed with the next shipment from Rhino, hopefully. On the subject of the DVDs, a box set of them is going to be released later this year. So you might want to hold off until they get those out. Also, M. Cipher posted a very cool comparison of who got more exclusive Transformers, Hasbro or Takara, or who made, I should say. Among the finer points, Japan did not release Ironhide in any capacity. They released Ratchet by mail order, but not Ironhide. If they could release Ratchet through mail order, I wonder what the problem was with doing the same for Ironhide. In the end, it turns out that Hasbro, unsurprisingly, made more exclusive toys by a margin of almost 2-to-1. I love you, Hasbro. That's pretty much it for ATT. It was a very, very boring week. Up next, we will have Destroy, Erase, Improve by Tony Fitz, just to get away from me talking for a bit.
Welcome to Destroy, Erase, Improve, the weekly look at Transformers and Transfandom, insight on its present state, and a look at what the future may hold. I am your host, Anthony Bricalli, the one and only Tony Fitz, and I'm a little bit tired, so you can hear that in my voice, but it's been a long time since I've done this show, and glad to be back doing it. I've been a little bit lazy and a little bit busy and a little bit of a lot of things lately, and the idea for this show has been sitting on my desk for a good long time now. And so, without further ado, I do have a question for all of you. And that is, do the Japanese have it better? Why are Japanese toys so special? Would these toys be as important or as good if they were American toys? Is Japan more important than the European toys? And furthermore, do the Japanese have it better? And as Earth Crisis covers the Rolling Stones behind me, I think we're going to analyze these questions. What is the allure of Japanese toys? Are they the Great Holy Grail? I know I have a few of my own. I know a good chunk of them are Japanese or foreign. I know my collection. My Japanese stuff does get a slight higher priority than some of the domestic stuff. Not all of it. Depends on the character for me, personally. But I can imagine other people like it. Are these toys rare? Well, there are thousands of them in Japan. I don't know if they're all rare. And, do they have a lot of play value, if any? A lot of good Japanese toys are utter crap, and think about it. Freaking Metro Titan? I mean, I want a Metro Titan. I'll be the first to say it. Does it have a lot of play value? Not really. It's a blue Metroplex. Alright, what about Landfrost? Another beautiful toy that's very nice in a lot of modes, and probably has a high play value, and pretty hard to find, and a great Japanese toy. But if these toys were American, would we want them as much? Would Landfrost or Metrotitan just be another brick, another $30 brick? And a good chunk of the Japanese toys are average at best. I have a knockoff, what's it called? You know, I have it hidden in my collection and I try to block it out of my head because it's just that bad. Diatlas? No, it's not Diatlas. It's one of those victory guys, and I'll think of it in a little bit, but it's terrible, and there's tons of knockoffs of this guy, and he's terrible. He turns into a little base with an elevator. And, of course, somebody's going to email me and tell me what that is, and I know I'm going to have the name by then, so don't email me and tell me what it is. And, of course, then there's the toys that we already gotten once from Japan, and then we get again, painted black. Okay, dramatic pause enough. Maybe not. And are those toys just as important, or just as rare, or just as nice for that matter? Because at least in America, we don't get black repaints, at least not that often. And on the other hand, the Japanese don't get some of the nicer toys. They don't get the Primal Primes, at least not at domestic prices. They don't get the Beast Machines toys that have been beautiful for the past year and change. And furthermore, they don't get the better shows. They don't get Beast Wars the way it was meant. The story as it was told here, per se. Nor do they get Beast Machines, which on a whole is a good story, though the characters are a bit out of whack, in my opinion. And furthermore, they don't get any Transformers this year. Hasbro has at least had the consistency of releasing Transformers toys every year since 84, whereas Japan did take a brief break after Victory, brief break after G2. So, where does that leave us? I don't know, you tell me. Do the Japanese have better? They have better packaging. I'll give them that. I'll give them the better packaging. They get the card. They get the instructions that are beautiful and well-detailed. They get the nice box, the insert. Of course, we get the crappy little card. We get the cool text spec with the G1 references, though. I don't know, I think it's a balancing act. I don't think things are better there, I think things are just different. I think Hasbro does a lot of good things, I think Takara does a lot of good things. I think both do a lot of bad things, Takara in particular. Mainly because they look towards the collector's market and see the cheapest way of making a collector part with his money, so to speak. But you tell me. I want you to check out my website. It's https://members.nbci.com/TonyFitz with a capital T. That's https://members.nbci.com/TonyFitz. And check out the Do the Japanese Have It Better section I did a few years ago. And also, email me at TonyFitz@Mindspring.com and tell me what you think. And I'd hopefully get to do a follow-up show on this as I start to park up here and have some adrenaline rush kick in. And some drive maybe to do another show within the next hour, because I think I'm going to do something very topical to ATT right now for next week. So I think it's been good that I'm back on AT on RFC. I want to thank Brian Kilby for letting me do this segment and letting me be so erratic with my timing of it. And that's about it for Destroyer Race Improved this week. The background music today was provided by Earth Crisis, covering the Rolling Stones' Painted Black, and the intro is by Meshuggah with Future Breed Machine. Meshuggah can be found on Nuclear Blast Records at nuclearblast-usa.com, and Earth Crisis can be found on Victory Records at victory.com. That's about it. Enjoy the rest of RFC. This is your host, Anthony Bucalli, the one and only Tony Fitz, signing off. Take it easy.
To be or not to be? That is question. What is answer? Me not know. Slag, what is answer?
Me not know. Me slag say you full of beryllium baloney.
Snow, tell me answer. Me, Snarl, want to be.
Yes, yes, no! Me want to be too!
Me want to be too, too.
Too, too.
Alright, I am reviewing Primal Prime rather briefly. Primal Prime, of course, is the recolor of Optimal Optimus for Beast Machines. So, I think I have a review of him in the RFC archive someplace. So I'll go pretty quick through this. Beast Mode, colors. He's red, translucent red, chrome red, white, blue, chrome blue, and silver. Kind of a patriotic color scheme, to say the least. There's a little bit of quality control problem. Things like shoulder joints not lining up correctly. One will be angled forward a little more than the other, no matter what you do. And some other joints are just incredibly tight and difficult to manipulate, especially when needed in transformation. That's about all the change between Op-Op and Primal Prime in Beast Mode. Transformation is kind of hindered because the cockpit for the two vehicle modes is assembled incorrectly. So it can't go down quite as far as it needs to properly sit in either mode. It doesn't hinder the beast or robot modes, but it causes problems elsewhere. For ground assault mode, the quality control issues become worse. Lower knee joint Optimal Optimus had to shorten his leg position, and that really makes it a little bit more difficult to fiddle with his legs to transform him. Also, the connector arm that the missile launcher is on cannot support the weight of said missile launcher, so it's always going to be flopping backwards. What a pain. What else do we have here? Oh, and, you know, of course, nothing is helped by reprinting the exact same instructions that did not properly tell you how to put him in ground assault mode. So you still can't do it right. Color doesn't change, obviously. These colors are constant throughout, so I'm not even going to talk about that anymore. Going to jet mode. The cockpit situation really is hurting what was Optimal Optimus's best mode. You have to keep him on an angle to make the cockpit sit in the right spot. This has the sole benefit of the turret pointing straight forward like it should. Ugh. And, of course, the uneven arms do not help in the slightest. I loved Optimal Optimus's jet mode. I hate Primal Prime's jet mode. It's just... ooh. It turns something so good into something so bad. For robot mode. Robot mode, like Beast Mode, does not horribly suffer from quality control problems. They're evident, but not glaringly so. But when you go to transform him out of robot mode, beware of these shoulder discs. From the robot mode position, they do not like to open up to move them. You will feel like you're going to break him to do it. And after a couple minutes, you will want to break him to do it. And the fixed knee joint also causes him to be an inch shorter than Optimal Optimus, just for what it's worth. I will give him that the translucent blast panels, translucent red, it's very nice effect. But that's about the sole benefit. One part of the remolding in addition to the knee joints, was the addition of a separate button on his turret to activate the lights. So now you will no longer be blinded by friendly fire when you're trying to look at the glowing missiles. Bottom line, it's a mediocre recolor of a decent toy, hampered by poor quality control. If you can find him decently cheap, like 20 or less, he might be worth picking up, but no higher than that. This is one you can definitely skip. I'm going to give Primal Prime a 6 out of 10. Okay, I'd like to announce the opening of Radio Free Cybertron's new message board. Brian mentioned it in the show last week. We were going to open it last week, but we decided to put it off for a week so we could make it really good. You can find it over at http://forums.goldemus.net. I'm sure there will be a link on the RFC homepage. If not, there will be a link from my website at goldemus.net. The new message board, we hope, will be a lot better than the old one, and we kind of hope it'll get some more traffic than the old one. And, go make use. That's it for Radio Free Cybertron this week. Be sure to come back next week when Brian will probably be back. Though it might be me again, so you never know. Maybe the show will be longer then, too. Don't forget about the new message board, and thank you for listening to Radio Free Cybertron.